Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
But I did want to start with Tiger basketball because, as you know by now, it was not a good weekend for Penny Hardaway's program. The Tigers went to Oxford to play an Ole Miss team that had already lost to unranked Marquette, unranked Boise State, two schools that are both sub-75 at KenPom. So Memphis, despite entering on a two-game losing streak, was actually favored at tip-off at Ole Miss. Regardless, the Tigers trailed by 4 points at halftime, by as many as 11 in the second half before ultimately losing by four. The final score was Ole Miss 67, Memphis 63. Memphis had 19 field goals and 20 turnovers. Yuck. So the Tigers are now on a three-game losing streak and 5-3 on the season. 10 days ago, they were undefeated with a win over Virginia Tech and ranked ninth in the AP poll. Now they're 5-3 with three losses to teams ranked outside of the top 60 at KenPom. Needless to say, they are no longer in the AP poll, although they are still getting votes, which makes no sense whatsoever. They remain a mess on offense, and their normally elite defense is no longer elite. The rotations are unpredictable, confusing, and according to Penny Hardaway, the core issue currently derailing the program is that the veterans have been unwelcoming to the five-star freshmen, Imani Bates and Jalen Duren. Been jealous of the five-star freshmen, Imani Bates and Jalen Duren. So that was quite the revelation from Penny. He told The Athletic Seth Davis after Saturday's loss that there's been, quote, tension every day since Imani and Jalen arrived on campus. He said his locker room has major character issues and clear chemistry issues. So he promised, he told Seth, to start playing the players who care about the team because he insisted he has too many players who don't. Right or wrong, Penny Hardaway has now blasted his players publicly after back-to-back games. Big Bet Bennett.
Yes.
What do you make of Penny's latest post-game comments about his players?
Well, you remember on Friday when I said that I really, really enjoyed these 11 a.m. tip-offs?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to take that statement back.
You would like to retract that?
I would like to retract that statement. That ruined my entire Saturday.
Well, that's the other problem. Like, if you're, you know, taking an L as a favorite for the third straight time by, say, I don't know, 12:55 p.m., that get you down in the dumps the rest of the day.
And it truly did. There's a lot to unpack. Clearly something is really wrong. I mean, you can see it with your own eyes when you watch the team play. The rotations, like you said, are confusing. I don't want to call out specific players by names, but like there was a player in the game late in that Ole Miss game that I was just like, why is he in the game right now? It's just real confusing right now.
Like you said, there is a lot to unpack. And I'll get to the actual basketball, like on the court stuff, which is super frustrating. I'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's just focus on Penny's postgame comments and his admission that the locker room is very much split and has been basically from the jump. He said that he didn't think coming into this that there would be any issues. Which, frankly, is hard to believe, unless you're being a little naive. Because, let me be clear, I didn't predict that they would have issues. I had them ranked preseason top 10. But the idea that it wouldn't occur to you that there could be issues, that there were potential issues, that is a little harder to believe because it wasn't difficult to see this as a possible development, as a potential problem. In fact, there's one AP voter, Jerry Carino, from New Jersey, who didn't rank Memphis in the preseason at all. His top 25 ballot. The only reason I know is because Memphis fans kept sending it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this guy.
Remember, yep.
GP, go get him. And I didn't because, like I explained then, it's totally reasonable to leave Memphis off your preseason ballot. I wouldn't have done it, but you could make an argument to do it. And the argument would be rooted in, I'm going to let them prove it to me because they've been ranked in the preseason before and quite literally never lived up to expectations under Penny Hardaway since he started enrolling heralded recruiting classes. So I didn't go after Jerry Carino. I didn't think he did anything crazy, even if I did think it was wrong. But his explanation for not ranking Memphis, you know what it was?
Mm.
Pretty straightforward. He said, trying to mesh these five-star freshmen, these likely top 10 picks with a veteran core has the potential to blow up. That's what he wrote. And so now here we are.
Yeah, and I get that. The only thing I would throw out is, like, we see that all over the country with high level, like Duke every year typically has some veteran players mixed with some five-star freshmen,
well,
right?
That's right. Like, you know, Memphis's circumstances that it's dealing with, they're not unique to Memphis. So the job is either avoiding the problems or resolving the problems once they arise. Like, that's part of the job. That's part of being a college basketball coach. It's a very important part of being a college basketball coach. You have to anticipate possible chemistry problems in advance and figure out how to avoid them. And if you can't avoid them, then you have to solve them when they arise. This is something coaches do every year. Like, this isn't unique to Penny or Memphis. Like you said, Mike Krzyzewski adds five-star freshmen to a roster with veterans literally every year. John Calipari, same thing, literally every year. It doesn't work perfectly every season, but usually they figure out how to do it. This season alone, Kentucky, Michigan, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Duke all added multiple five-star freshmen to locker rooms otherwise filled with veterans. And it doesn't seem to be a problem at any of those places. Mark Few added five-star freshman Chet Holmgren to a roster with preseason National Player of the Year Drew Timme. I suppose that had a chance to mess up Gonzaga's chemistry, given all the attention that Chet gets. But far as I know, there have been no issues to date. Rick Barnes added five-star freshman Kennedy Chandler to a roster with lots of veterans, Victor Bailey, John Fulkerson, Josiah Jordan James, not veterans that won the NIT, but veterans who played in the NCAA tournament. I suppose that had a chance to mess up Tennessee's chemistry, but far as I know, there have been no issues. Kennedy Chandler is taking more shots than any other Vol, averaging more points than any other Vol on a roster filled with veterans. Tennessee is 6-1 and ranked in the top 15 of the AP poll. Rick Barnes has meshed his five-star freshman with his veterans, seemingly without issue. And technically speaking, he's doing it for the second straight season with, again, little to no issues. My point is this. There's nothing unique in college basketball about the challenge Penny Hardaway is facing as it pertains to dealing with potential chemistry issues between returning players and more heralded newcomers. The same set of circumstances is present right now at Gonzaga, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Duke. But all of those schools are still top 20 at KenPom. Memphis is right now the only team in the country that enrolled multiple five-star freshmen and is no longer in the top 20 at KenPom. In fact, Memphis isn't even in the top 30 anymore. That's problematic and evidence that the staff has failed on some level to make this work. That's not a shot at anybody. It's just a fact. If in the fifth week of the season, you're explaining a three-game losing streak by pointing to chemistry issues and jealousy issues between your veterans and your newcomers, you haven't done a key part of the job well enough. Why? That's a totally fair question to ask. And it's wild that Penny told Seth Davis that he didn't think there would be any issues. Because, like I said earlier, that's a little naive. DeAndre Williams and Landers Nile are former transfers who were the Tigers' best two players last season. Both decided to come back to school when some of their teammates left. And then very late in the process, Penny enrolled a five-star big, who is now the focus of the front court instead of DeAndre Williams, and a five-star wing, who was going to take more shots than anybody, including Landers Nile. Why would you not think that might, emphasis on the word might, but might, why would you not think that that might be an issue? DeAndre Williams is playing 5.5 fewer minutes per game than last season, getting fewer touches, fewer shots, averaging fewer points, rebounds, and assists. It's a direct result of the late enrollment of Jalen Duren. Why wouldn't you assume that might create an issue? Landers Nile is playing 6 fewer minutes per game than he played last season, getting fewer touches, taking fewer shots, averaging fewer points, rebounds, and steals. It's a direct result of the late enrollment of Amani Bates. Why wouldn't you assume that might create an issue? Because I know for a fact this is the exact kind of stuff other staffs anticipate and either try to avoid or resolve. Here's a story that I think illustrates that. Marcus Carr, you might not know Marcus Carr, he's a good college basketball player, played last season at Minnesota, then decided to transfer. Little guard, good player, took 15.6 shots per game last season at Minnesota. He's now at Texas with Chris Beard. That's where he transferred. But before he picked Texas, he was considering a number of schools. And I was talking to a coach who was reportedly in there good with Marcus Carr. Like, it might be Texas, but it might be this other school. So I'm talking to the coach at that school, one of those schools. And at some point I was like, oh, but hey, by the way, where are you at with this Marcus Carr thing? And the coach said, we decided we just can't do that. If I bring him in, because it was late in the process, like July. The coach was like, we just decided can't do it. If we bring him in, somebody like him, now, it might cost us our locker room. We thought about it, just decided it's not worth it. This coach knew Marcus Carr was good enough to play for him, because he's good enough to play for anybody. But the coach weighed the pros and cons and decided risking his locker room by enrolling him wasn't something he was willing to do. So he passed. Which is not to suggest Penny should have passed on Amani Bates or Jalen Duren. That's silly. I'm not saying that. But possible chemistry issues connected to their enrollments, you have to anticipate those and then work hard to avoid them, or if you can't avoid them, resolve them quickly. That's part of the job. But so far, chemistry issues haven't been avoided or resolved at Memphis. And according to the Memphis coach, it is the thing that has derailed this season through eight games. I do think some of it is a result on some level of not identifying and establishing roles weeks ago, if not months ago. Memphis has 11 players playing at least 9.7 minutes per game. It's too many.
Yeah.
Purdue's the number one team in the country. Boilermakers only have 10 players averaging more than 2.5 minutes per game. Against Iowa on Friday night, 9 Purdue players played at least 16 minutes. Nobody else played more than 3. The roles on that team are clearly defined. On Saturday against Ole Miss, Memphis had 11 players play at least 7 minutes. That's too many. When you play too many players, it makes keeping enough players happy more difficult than it needs to be. There are only 200 player minutes available in college basketball in a game. You're better off dividing those minutes by 8 or 9 or even 10 in some cases, but 11 is too many. Purdue used 9 players Friday night against Iowa. Then on Saturday night, the biggest game was what? Gonzaga, Alabama. 2 great teams, fast-paced game. Alabama played 8 dudes. Gonzaga played 8 dudes. Meantime, Penny's still trying to play 11. And it's an approach that's counterproductive on 2 levels. 1, it keeps your most talented players off the court more than they should be. And 2, it causes or enhances chemistry issues. That's why it's incredibly important to identify your guys early and establish their roles. You have to figure out who's playing and who isn't and only adjust because of foul trouble or injuries. Pick your guys, then play them consistently every game. You can't play Tyler Harris 16 minutes one game, then 5 the next. You can't play Malcolm Dandridge 3 minutes one game, 16, 17 the next. Who are your 28-minute-per-game guys? Who are your 16-minute-per-game guys? Who are your 0-minute-per-game guys? You have to figure that out. Stick with it. Penny's inability to do so has caused issues that did not need to exist. And the most difficult thing to understand is that he says he understands this. Like he agrees with everything I'm saying. He says he knows he needs to play 8 or 9 or 10, not 11 or 12. But then Ole Miss game starts and he's playing 11 different dudes in the first 8 minutes. What? He says, I can't play 11. I won't play 11. And then he goes out and plays 11 in the first 8 minutes. How does that keep happening? Why does that keep happening? And the Alex Lomax thing just continues to make no sense whatsoever to me. In a game in which you're trying to avoid a 3-game losing streak, Alex Lomax leads your team in minutes played with 28 at Ole Miss. That's a real head scratcher. Like, I don't think Alex Lomax should play at all. At all. That's been established. But even if you're a believer in Alex Lomax, we should all be able to agree he should never be on the court 28 minutes. He should never lead your team in minutes play. And if the question you're thinking right now is, fine, GP, but then tell me, who do you want Memphis to play at point guard? Here's my answer. Literally anybody else. Anybody else. Earl Timberlake, Tyler Harris, Lester Quinones, take your pick. I don't care. Just anybody other than Alex Lomax. Because it's undeniable at this point, generally speaking, his cons outweigh his pros. He might have an okay game every once in a while, or even a good game every once in a while. But the good has literally never outweighed the bad. Let me make this as simple as I can make it for you. There are clearly at least 7 players on the Memphis roster more talented than Alex Lomax. At least 7. Amani Bates, Jalen Duren, Lester Quinones, Landers Nolley, DeAndre Williams, Earl Timberlake, Josh Minot. And the number might be as high as 11, depending on what you think of Malcolm Dandridge, Tyler Harris, Chandler Lawson, Jaden Hardaway. So why is Alex Lomax fourth on the team in minutes played at 22.4? The answer is because he's the only natural point guard on the roster. But here's the problem. If he's not good at point guard when he's playing point guard, what is the point of having him on the court at all? You're only playing him because of this one thing he can supposedly do, which is play point guard. But he doesn't even really play point guard well. It's one thing to play a small, less talented non-shooter, non-driver, non-finisher, 22.4 minutes per game, if the reason is because he runs your team, takes care of the ball, gets you into your offense. Alex Lomax doesn't do any of that. Memphis is terrible offensively when he's on the court. And he's tied for the team lead in turnovers with 21 through 8 games. He has 21 assists and 21 turnovers through 8 games. And no, by the way, I don't care that he's shooting 40% from three because he's only taking 1.3 three-pointers per game. And if you only take, on average, 1.3 three-pointers per game, you're a non-shooter, regardless of what your percentage is. Nobody, no opponent is worried about you shooting 1.3 three-pointers per game. If Alex Lomax can't run your offense or create space for others as a shooting threat or take care of the ball, what is the point of him playing? And I know the staff would respond to that by saying, listen, crazy as it might sound, Alex Lomax, flaws and all, is the best option at point guard we got, regardless of what any numbers say. Fine, I hear you. But it's worth noting that last season, the staff thought Alex Lomax was the best option at point guard too. What we found out is that he clearly wasn't. Boogie Ellis was. But we didn't get a chance to see it consistently until Alex Lomax was hurt and unable to play, at which point the staff was forced to do something different, and that something different was clearly better. So if the staff was wrong about the best point guard option last season, why is it so hard to believe they might, not definitely are, but might be wrong again this season? The possibility that they might be wrong again about what they have on their roster is why I'd rather see literally any other reasonable option ASAP. They were wrong about Boogie Ellis last season in a way that ultimately cost them Boogie Ellis. It's time for them to now make sure they're not wrong about Earl Timberlake at point guard or Lester Quinones at point guard or Tyler Harris at point guard or anybody else who might make sense. It's time to try something else. No matter what stats anybody chooses to cherry pick, you'll never get around this fact. For the entire Penny Hardaway era, no player has spent more minutes in any season playing point guard for Memphis than Alex Lomax. He's been between 20 minutes per game and 24 minutes per game for four straight seasons. And the only time, literally the only time in the entire Penny Hardaway era when Memphis truly looked like a great team was at the end of last season when Alex Lomax didn't play because Alex Lomax couldn't play because he was injured. That's a fact. It's impossible to get around that. Do you think it's a coincidence that the only time they've been great is the only time they were unable to play Alex Lomax between 20 and 24 minutes per game? I don't think it is. It's why it's time to try something different at point guard. In the offseason, the staff assumed they could play without a traditional point guard. If they no longer believe that, that means they were wrong in a way that has helped derail this season. That was a colossal miscalculation, it appears. You can't be wrong that badly about something so important. Because now you've got a lot of nice individual pieces, but possibly nobody equipped to hold it together. Truth is, Memphis should have done whatever it had to do to either keep Boogie Ellis or add Kennedy Chandler. Whatever efforts Memphis put into getting Amani Bates and Jalen Duren, that same effort should have been used on Boogie Ellis or Kennedy Chandler. Boogie Ellis was in the program for 2 years But I'm certain he got tired on some level of not playing point guard because of Alex Omax. So now he's at USC leading a top 20 team in points and assists. Kennedy Chandler was raised in Memphis, but now he's at Tennessee leading a top 15 team in points and assists. He scored 29 in Tennessee's win at Colorado on Saturday, same time Alex Lomax was scoring 5 and leading Memphis in turnovers in a loss at Ole Miss. If you're a Tiger fan, that must make you sick. This team's most obvious need is point guard. And the best freshman point guard in the nation, perhaps the best point guard in the nation, period, is a native Memphian starring for the Vols. Woo boy. Alex Lomax's player efficiency rating is 13.93. That's 8th on the team at Memphis. But he's 4th on the team in minutes played, and he just led the Tigers in minutes played at Ole Miss. That is not a formula for success. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times, but let me say it once more. Alex Lomax is an impressive young man. He is far from the only problem at Memphis. He leads the team in turnovers, sure, but he's not the only reason Memphis turns it over on 25.5% of its possessions. He's not the only reason they've lost 3 straight. In fairness, he was actually pretty good last week in the loss at Georgia. But we're in the 4th year of Penny Hardaway giving more point guard minutes to Alex Lomax than anybody else, and Memphis has never been great while doing that. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. It's time for Memphis to actually take a shot at being great. And taking a shot at being great will almost certainly require the Tigers to try something different at point guard, whomever that might be. Or else, barring a surprise, the losses are going to continue to pile until Memphis finds itself missing out on the NCAA tournament for what would be the 8th consecutive year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.